back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. We're on to politics now. Early voting for the primary is underway. August 30th is officially Election Day, but thousands already have voted. And in dozens of days, in just one dozen days, the final stretch of this political season will begin. There's the U.S. Senate race where Marco Rubio is being challenged by Gulf Coast home builder Carlos Baruff. The two U.S. representatives on the Democratic side, Pat Murphy and Alan Grayson, are vying for their nomination for the Senate. In some races, the primary effectively is the election. Former Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz is being challenged by Nova Southeastern University law professor Tim Canova for that congressional district that reaches from Miami Beach to Weston. And then there's the local race to be the mayor of Miami-Dade County. Mayor Carlos Jimenez is being challenged by Miami-Dade school board member Raquel Regalado. Now, as a note of transparency, the Miami-Dade County Public School District is the broadcast license holder of WLRN, but has no editorial control. So politics, have you voted? For whom and why? Have any of the political ads worked, or have you tuned it all out? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Doug Hanks watches municipal politics for our partner, the Miami Herald. Amy Sherman watching a number of congressional and Senate races for the Miami Herald. She's with us on the telephone. Amy, let's begin at the top of the ticket, this race for U.S. Senate. Senator Rubio did not run for re-election, of course, until he ended the presidential campaign. He visited the Herald's editorial board this week. He was asked about his political ambitions. Here's what he said.
The last thing I achieved in American politics in my time in public office is to be considered one of the best senators Florida's ever had. I'll be pleased with that. I'll view that as a real achievement and something that I'll be very proud of, and I'll feel fulfilled by it.
So, Amy, he hasn't ruled out any future political ambitions beyond the Senate, but what are the accomplishments, generally speaking, that he's running on after his first term 6 years in Washington?
Well, Rubio has become a senator who's comfortable talking about foreign policy, terrorism, and, of course, immigration reform, although that's the topic that really hurt him with some conservatives. After immigration reform failed, he stepped up his efforts to talk about practically everything else in Florida, and that has included more recently the need for more Zika funding and holding the VA accountable.
Yeah, he's also been clear that he isn't ruling out any run for the president in 2020, and his challenger, Carlos Baruff, meantime, has ruled out any future political ambition, including potentially running for governor of Florida in 2018. Baruff has spent, what, about $10 million on this race? He's running as an outsider, but he hasn't caught much wind in the polls like Donald Trump has in Florida. Why not, do you think?
Well, first of all, Senate incumbents rarely lose, and so far we just haven't seen the ingredients for him to take what he'd need to knock out a longtime well-known politician. Baruff lacks kind of the pizzazz and the big backers and the audience that he would need to knock out a longtime incumbent.
Doug, 6 years ago, it was Rubio who was the outside candidate in a three-way race for the U.S. Senate. Today, he is the establishment. You cover municipal politics. What kind of local government support has he gathered here for this race?
Well, he was Carlos Jimenez's second choice in the presidential primary.
Which is one way of saying, kind of.
And also that editorial, they asked, who do you want to be your county mayor? And he wouldn't say. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, politics is a strange beast here, certainly in South Florida. I want to get a lot of races in here. In the Democratic primary race for the Senate, meantime, Amy, this race has been marked by stories of resume padding by Representative Patrick Murphy and more recent allegations of domestic abuse against Representative Alan Grayson. Those accusations made by his ex-wife, but Murphy used those accusations to cancel an appearance for a scheduled debate, citing the abuse story against Grayson. He denies them, Grayson denies them, and both of them spoke to the Sun Sentinel editorial board. Listen to this.
I couldn't simply in good conscience anymore continue to listen to so many survivors, to so many, you know, folks reaching out to us saying their story and saying you're giving a congressman now with some very serious allegations a platform to go statewide.
Look, it's an obvious smear, okay? More than 1 million people in Orlando have seen a video of my wife punching me twice in the face and my backing off.
So, Amy, this has really been a very personal campaign in the closing weeks of this primary. It's been pretty nasty. What are some of the issue differences, though, especially between Murphy and Grayson here?
Well, Murphy is seen as the more moderate of the two. Grayson is the more liberal. But basically, there's not a lot that separates them on the major issues. I mean, both are in favor of raising the minimum wage. They both favor women's rights, gay rights, helping the middle class, income inequality. I mean, overall, Murphy's voting record leans more to the right, though. For example, it's his support for the Benghazi Committee mm-hmm. and for the Keystone Pipeline.
Is this in any way, Amy, South Florida versus the I-4 corridor, South Florida being, Patrick Murphy's kind of extended area? I mean, he lived and worked in Miami Beach, and, of course, His House district is Palm Beach and Treasure Coast. Grayson, meantime, is in the Orlando area. Does this pit kind of the Democratic Party, the internal Florida Democratic Party, against each other with geography?
Well, it wouldn't be a surprise if Grayson did better in Orlando, since that's where he was well known for years, and Murphy and his family are way better known in parts of South Florida. Mm-hmm. But really, I think it comes down to their persona in this race and less so about geography. And for Democrats across the state, the question they're asking themselves when they go to the polls may not be which candidate do they love, but which candidate do they believe can beat ultimately the Republican, who's most likely going to be Marco Rubio.
On the Republican side, on the Democratic side, the opinion page of the Miami Herald went with neither representative on the Democratic nomination, recommending instead Pam Keith, a former government and private lawyer. Amy, first of all, there is a wall between editorial news coverage and the opinion page. We get that, certainly. But were you surprised by that?
No, I wasn't, because I think what the editorial board did was they're saying, hey, we're not pollsters or predicting the outcome. Yeah. We're saying who would be the best for Democrats. Mm. And they said, look, both Grayson and Murphy are flawed in different ways. Here is a viable alternative for Democrats.
The question is, how
do voters take that information when their top concern as Democratic voters yeah. is beating the Republicans?
Doug, I want to ask you just overall in this U.S. Senate race in the primary, no debates. No debates on the Republican side, no debates on the Democratic side. Are voters being well served by their candidates in that regard? Haven't been able to get either side, any of those, to agree to sit down together to talk about the issues.
No, and that's a very bad trend on any race. The debates always make news. It's a great way to see candidates sort of unvarnished, have the press have a chance at them. So I would say no.
Yeah. In one race, there has been a debate. It's a municipal race, and it was a debate with a lot of tension, certainly. This was the race for Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez and challenger Raquel Regalado. The two tangled on Sunday on Local 10s this week in South Florida. First of all, beginning with turning in campaign paperwork.
He gets to have the elections department wait up for him until 10:30 at night.
I'm sorry, that is completely false.
And then it was on crime and county spending on domestic violence investigation and prevention.
Let's talk about the reduction in funding to domestic violence. Even though Miami-Dade County...
We have not reduced funding to domestic violence. You just make stuff up. You come in here and you make stuff up and you have all these supposed facts, and they're not true.
They are not true.
And the development of the Pork and Beans housing project in Liberty City, known as Liberty Square.
The related group is the management company that will decide who lives there.
She makes stuff up like you wouldn't believe.
No.
You can hear the tension there, Doug. I know you are just offset. Sort through this race for us for Miami-Dade County Mayor.
Well, you know, the edge certainly goes to the incumbent, and the polls have shown that we've seen. You know, the thing to remember with local races, there's not like all these polls out there where you can sort of get a sense of the horse race. You know, the media does, essentially you've done one poll and then you rely on people with some skin in the game to tell you what they're seeing. But for sure the Jimenez people are saying, we think we're ahead by more than 50% so that we can get through the primary and not face a runoff in November.
And essentially it would be the election if he's able to get 50% plus one.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the Regalado side, they told me, I guess a week ago, like, we don't think we're winning, but we think that we can get close enough to force that runoff in November between the two of them. Then it gets really interesting. Carlos Jimenez does have ties to Donald Trump. He tried to negotiate a deal with him. He has not sort of come out one way or the other. Raquel Regalado has said she cannot vote for Donald Trump. And it just could get interesting if it was a two-way race. But that's a big hurdle for Raquel Regalado to clear.
What about the impact of Zika, if at all, on this? I mean, clearly it's in the headlines again today. It will be for the next several weeks, even beyond this August 30th primary for mayor. This is a local issue right now, as congressional funding simply isn't there, and the mayor has talked about blowing up essentially the mosquito budget and hoping that the federal dollars are there. And Ms. Regalado has gone after the mayor for not doing enough pre-planning.
Yeah, I mean, Miami-Dade County got some pretty bad national press. Yeah. Bloomberg had a tough story. New York Times had a tough story saying, where are the inspectors? The money has been cut over the years. What Miami-Dade says is, regardless of what our budget was sort of pre-Zika, we've been willing to spend whatever we need to fight mosquitoes. And we'll see. I mean, I think it was interesting to see that when Zika sort of arrived in Miami Beach, Phil Levine,
mayor of Miami Beach,
big fan publicity, obviously, out there right away with the press conference, action, action, action. Now, he was pushing back at the media, which he tends to do, but it's interesting to see the two styles, I think. Whereas I think Mayor Jimenez has been much more like, it's a problem, but let's not overstate the problem.
Obviously, Mayor Jimenez and Mayor Levine are not running against each other in this campaign as well. Yeah. Another clash of styles is on display in the U.S. Congressional district that goes from Miami Beach to Weston. This is Debbie Wasserman Schultz facing her stiffest primary challenge in years on the Democratic side from Tim Canova. They met for their only debate last weekend on CBS4's Facing South Florida with Jim DeFede.
You know, my opponent wants to run away from the fact that over 90% of the support that he has financially is from people outside the state of Florida.
As far as growing the party, she hasn't grown the party. She can talk about reaching over the aisle and having a dinner party is real nice. But I'll tell you, under her leadership at the DNC, the Democrats have had historic losses.
Canova there referencing Wasserman Schultz's tenure as the chair of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, a position that she was forced to resign from this summer after leaked emails and questions about the lack of even-handedness with the committee, with the Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders presidential campaigns. Amy Sherman with the Miami Herald, how does the national political drama play locally, if at all, here in this race?
Well, that's the big question here, and we don't know for certain because there have been no outside groups that have polled in this race. However, the general sense when I talk to voters in the district is they're more concerned about issues that affect them in their homes in Broward and northern Miami-Dade than they are about her downfall on the national stage. So the questions are about abortion rights, gay rights, minimum wage, the environment, and less so about her leadership at the DNC.
Yeah, speaking of local issues, Justin is on line one for us from Dania Beach. Justin, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead with your comment on the Wasserman-Schultz-Canova race.
Hi. Yeah, I watched the debate, and while I wasn't particularly impressed with Tim Canova's performance, I was really shocked at the end to hear W. Wasserman Schultz say that she would support fracking provided there was adequate regulation. I just, as a lifelong Florida resident, the environment is one of my main issues, and I was just so shocked to hear. I don't know where the benefit is, if it's jobs, or I would think those jobs be filled mostly by out-of-state workers. We don't have a oil worker industry down here, per se. So I was just surprised to hear her support that.
Justin, we appreciate your input. Amy, fracking, not necessarily a big top-of-the-ticket item for Florida traditionally here. Have you been surprised about that particular position that the congresswoman took?
Well, that came up at the very end of the debate in the lightning round. So we got almost no details about it, except for she said she would support it with regulation.
Yeah.
So I think we need to hear a little bit more about her position. That has become a litmus test for some liberal voters, but I wouldn't say it's one of the top issues for your average voter throughout the district.
I want to get to the libertarians. They came to town. They were told they could not follow the political ritual, though, of media interviews at Versailles Restaurant in Miami. The libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson instead held court outside, voicing support for President Obama's new policy toward Cuba.
Well, I applaud Obama for what he's done. I think that it's long overdue, and offering free trade, in my opinion, that's how Cuba ultimately changes and changes for the better.
Now, Doug, the Libertarian ticket held a town hall at FIU, 600 people. One of the clear messages was vote for someone you believe in, trying to go after that conscientious voter. What can the Libertarians expect from South Florida voters, do you think, Doug?
Well, I don't know. I wonder if where Jeb Bush is going to go on that, right? He said he's not going to.
Well, he's pledged support for the Republican nominee, ultimately.
Jeb Bush?
Well, in debates, number of them.
But he said he's not going to vote for
backed
Trump.
Backed away, right.
Right?
Yeah,
And I think, unfortunately, they don't reveal who got the write-in votes, but I think you will see a lot of Jeb Bush write-ins, you know, from, from a crowd down here.
Finally, Amy, I want to talk about politic fact here. Campaign season, unprecedented in so many ways. How has this compared? How has the truthfulness of the presidential campaign so far compared to years past?
Well, PolitiFact did a comparison and found that the 2008 election was much more honest election than we're seeing in 2016. Obama in 2008 earned more true ratings than Obama in 2012, and Trump has been the most inaccurate of them all. Mm. So among the 2016 candidates that we fact-checked at least 25 times, Clinton has been the most accurate for the Democrats. And our own former Florida Governor Jeb Bush led the Republicans for most accurate statements.
PolitiFact and Amy Sherman there with us on the line. Amy, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Doug Hanks, watching municipal politics and an astute observer of all things political in South Florida as well. He's with us from our Doral studios at the Miami Herald. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks.
Still to come here, we speak with the superintendent of Broward County Public Schools. $800 million to fix the schools. What's happened since voters approved it? That's next.